D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5. The game we are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, newly minted BYU Hall of Famer, Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters, Trevor, of course, we are discussing the upcoming matchup between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Here's my question to you. In which area can Vanderbilt exploit Tennessee, and in which area can Tennessee exploit Vanderbilt?
Well, actually, from a standpoint of most, I don't want to say soft, but where you could exploit on both sides is the passing defense. Only Arkansas gives up fewer. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Only Arkansas gives up more passing yards per game than Tennessee and Vandy. They're right down there at the bottom of the SEC. Now, part of that is because their offenses are good and teams throw the ball a lot. When you look at yards per passing attempt, they're still, though, about mid-tier, mid to lower tier. And so I think both sides are going to try to throw the ball. And I think both sides are going to expect that the quarterback of the other team is going to throw the ball, and they'll figure they'll have to keep up at a track meet. Now, there are things I think that Vandy can do to kind of mitigate that a little bit, but ultimately I would be stunned if there aren't a ton of footballs in the air in this game.
Trevor, if Vanderbilt wins this game at Neyland Stadium, the Commodores will be 10-2, and a lot of us think that should be good enough to warrant inclusion in the college football playoff, but it seems the general consensus is that even if Vanderbilt wins, the Commodores are going to need help. How much help do you think they would need if the Commodores win this game and are at 10-2 at the end of the regular season?
Well, I think a ton of help, Willie. I think it's a real problem for – I'm sorry, was this Adam?
Yes, that's okay.
Yeah, sorry, Adam, I thought it was Willie for a second there. You're channeling Willie's voice. You should do some impersonation work. That was really good. But I think that they'll need a ton of help. And the reason is that, you know, Vandy is sitting there right now in the AP at number 12. We'll see what the committee ranks them. But either way, they're outside of that top 12. And the problem that they have is that getting into the top 12 is not enough. They'll have to be in the top 10 to be really safe. And the reason is that they're going to be jumped. 11 and 12 in the final ranking are going to be jumped by the Group of Five champion and the ACC champion. And so unless it's by some miracle Miami, which, you know, still is Miami's outside the top 12 now. And so to be safe as an at-large team, you've got to be in the top 10. And when you look at who's in the top 10 right now, Alabama's there, but Alabama beat Vandy head-to-head. Notre Dame's there. They're number 9, and I think the committee loves Notre Dame. They've already decided that Notre Dame with 2 losses is better than Vandy with 2 losses. So the committee's already made that decision. And then Oklahoma, they have LSU, but if they lose to LSU, they're at number 8. The question is, would they fall all the way behind Vandy? And it's very possible, but then Vandy would move up one spot. So you'd have to have multiple teams up there lose that are in the top 10. And if you look at 10-9-8, you've got Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, and then Texas Tech after that. And so in Oregon's up there. It just seems like there would be a requirement of not only Vandy winning at Tennessee and looking really good doing it, looking like a playoff team doing it, which they could do, but also they would need multiple teams ahead of them to lose because of the fact that the ACC champ and the Group of Five champ are likely to be behind them in the final ranking.
So, Trevor, so what you're saying is this upcoming week is really the week where Vandy's going to gain some leverage. It's going to be it has to be this week with them winning and potentially other teams losing, because it seems like even championship weekend can't help Vandy if teams don't lose this weekend.
Right, because, you know, the committee, I think, has heard coaches talking about the unfairness of a team making a conference championship game and losing and being downgraded and dropped behind a team that didn't make their conference championship game and therefore wasn't at risk of losing. And I think you look at the ACC last year, SMU got beat by Clemson in the ACC championship game, and SMU had a roaring comeback in the fourth quarter, but they fell short. But the committee didn't downgrade them out of the playoff, and so SMU, having lost the ACC championship game, was in it anyway. And so the conference championship games, I don't know that the losers there are going to drop far enough to help Vandy. You know, what helps Vandy, though, now is that their losses are to Alabama and Texas, both of them on the road. Those are shaping up to be pretty good losses, and I think that the committee will take that into account. And then at Tennessee, if they're able to win there, that's a tough place to play, a tough place to win. And I think the committee would give them a lot of credit for winning at Tennessee if they're able to pull it off. But like you said, Derek, it also will require not just one, maybe two or more, maybe three teams ahead of them losing in the final week of the regular season. That means this weekend.
Now, you know, we talk about Vandy as a team and them, you know, still, even if they win, them not securing a place in a college football playoff, which, you know, is unthinkable when you come out the SEC and you're 10-2 and that's still not a lock to make the college football playoffs. But when you talk about individuals, Diego Pavia winning, potentially not just winning, but I'm saying first and foremost being in New York, does he have to have one of those Heisman Trophy moments? Do you still think if they don't win this game, do you believe he should be in New York, or do you think he will be in New York?
I believe he absolutely should be in New York. I don't know that he's in position to win the Heisman unless he has a magnificent Heisman moment this weekend against the Volunteers. But I think he deserves to be in New York. I mean, the criteria for the Heisman Trophy is the most outstanding player in college football. And we tend to look at the stat monsters to justify that. But the truth of it is, Diego Pavia his stats have been great. But it's when he does things that are most outstanding. I mean, their superpower the last 2 years has been extending drives and keeping the opposing offense on the sideline. And that, to large measure, is Pavia finding the weakness in the defense and hitting it on schedule, or rolling around and running around and finding a weakness and then hitting that, or doing some miraculous thing that allowed him to extend a drive that kept the opponents on the sideline and possibly even ended in a score in those critical moments, that matter most. And so I hope that the 900, I think there's like 900 and some Heisman voters, I hope they're paying attention to not just what Pavia does, but when he does it. And really, in this game, he'll have another opportunity to do the same thing and exhibit that superpower, because this Tennessee offense, when it gets rolling against a vulnerable secondary, they're really hard to keep up with unless you don't let them onto the field. And that's really the key to the game for Vanderbilt overall. It's Pavia extending drives with plays that won't make the highlight reel necessarily, but that'll frustrate the Tennessee defense and keep the ball in Vanderbilt's hands.
Trevor Maddux is with us. Trevor, you read my mind. This is Willie, by the way. So I'm saving the best for last. I'm the anchor today. I think I'm hearing you say that something I brought up right before you came on. If you're Clark Lee, do you go into the game trying to make it low possession? Because it is what they have done effectively before. And as you mentioned, it can frustrate Tennessee if it's done right. And I would think it would be a no-brainer a few weeks ago, but they've shown that they can play some up-tempo if needed, and they've been really effective. But would you go in thinking, let's try to keep the possessions down to a minimum?
Yeah, I would think that, and especially because Clark Lee's a defensive guy. You know, defensive guys always think, okay, complementary football. And the first rule of complementary football is the offense stays on the field for a while so that the defense can rest. And then the offense strings together several first downs. So when you do punt, you put the other team deep. That's complementary football in the eyes of pretty much every defensive coach that's ever existed. And so I can see them trying to do that. I think there's another reason why, Willie, that they would really want to do that. And that's because the last thing you want to do when you're in your meetings as a as a staff is to think, okay, we're about to play Tennessee, and I can't wait to get into a track meet with them. I can't wait to get into a big play contest with Tennessee's offense. Man, that's going to be super fun. That's not what they're thinking. They're thinking on defense, how do we win situations? In other words, how do we, during the course of a drive, limit big plays so they have to run a lot of plays, then win on first or second down, or when there's a penalty and it's third and long, now we get them off the field. You're thinking about those kinds of situations. And so I think Vanderbilt, you know, again, you talk about probably a superpower. They lead the SEC in third down conversion percentage at about 52%. And so, you know, I think they would lean into that rather than say, okay, our quarterback's good, their quarterback's good, let's see who can put up the most points.
You hit on Pavia's superpower a couple times. I think that's a really interesting question when it comes to the Heisman vote itself, because I'm wondering, you mentioned there's voters all across the country, and I do wonder how many can see that nuance, because you're right, his stats are startling, and just you put him side by side with anybody, they're really good. But when you add that extra note that the superpower, as you call it, is that you're trying to keep possessions away from the other team, I'm not sure the average voter will know that. That's what would concern me.
Yeah, and they won't, and that's what I worry about. I think most Heisman voters take it very seriously, but sometimes I fear that some voters were awarded the Heisman vote in a divorce by a judge. It's like, I wonder what some people might be thinking. These are especially the people that send in their ballots before the final games are played. And they have to send in the ballot once they've seen all the games played. I mean, that happens for some of them. And I wish really if that happened, that unless they were traveling outside the country and stuff like that, that they would have that taken away from them. But that's a different thing. I have ideas on how they could change the Heisman voting procedure that I think would make it more credible. But at the same time, people don't look at that third down percentage. It's just not a stat you look at. They do look at completion percentage, and Pavia is about 72%. Most of the time, when you complete that many passes, it's because you're throwing the ball at or near the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage much of the time. But Pavia is averaging about 9.5 yards per pass attempt, and that means he's going downfield plenty. You know, and I think when you look at kind of that balance as well, if you're a voter, there are reasons you can say that Diego Pavia, even though he may not have the most yards and the most, although he's up there, I mean, he's pushing 3,000 yards right now. He's just under. But, you know, if you're looking at the things that people do in the critical moments, Diego Pavia, one of the reasons the third down percentage is so high is because Pavia doesn't have a whole lot of incomplete passes. When he throws it, it's 72%. One of his guys is catching it somewhere, and usually catching it for a nice game. And so these are things that I think voters need to pay attention to. Diego Pavia he's not just the MVP of the team. I think for the last 2 years, you can make a case that would be hard to break that Diego Pavia is the MVP in all of college football. That no player was more valuable to his team than Diego Pavia was to Vanderbilt the last 2 years. And the way he's elevated the franchise, not just on the field in terms of winning games, although that's important, it's hard to do, but the way he's elevated Vanderbilt football into the culture of Nashville, I think has been enormous for that university. And because Nashville is full of stars, full of celebrities, full of big money businesses. And guess who celebrities and stars and big money business wants to be around? They want to be around stars too. And all that stuff was going on when Vanderbilt was just sort of off to the side and nobody paid much attention to him. Well, now people are paying attention to him, and they've elevated into that culture. And Pavia said in the summertime how important it was to just keep winning, to continue to be a part of that Nashville culture, and he has done it. And so I think all that adds into what's outstanding about a college football player, and I think Pavia deserves to be in New York.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D. Mace Vingan and Donnie. He joins us every Tuesday. And he is brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks, guys.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to what Trevor had to say We also have some reaction on the upcoming matchup between Tennessee and Vanderbilt this weekend. 615-737-1025. This Thursday, the NFL Game of the Week. Chiefs and Cowboys at 3:30 on 1025 The Game. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South.